one announcement I forgot to make. The flowers on the piano are from Jolene's funeral yesterday, and Carmen wanted me to see that they were brought over to the church for the kindnesses they felt was given from this congregation to the family there yesterday. And so the flowers are from that funeral, and we thank them for it. The scripture lesson today is found in Mark chapter 9, and I will begin reading at verse 14 through 29 in Jesus' name. Please stand. Mark 9, beginning with verse 14. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and scribes disputing with them. Immediately, when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered them and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you and bring him to me?" Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell to the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he said to his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsing him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he came into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen." You may be seated. We see Jesus had just come down from the Mount of the Transfiguration, and he had seen this group of people, the scribes and many others around the disciples. The disciples had been spending some time trying to cast out this demon in this boy, and they couldn't do it, and they didn't know why. And so when Jesus came, they come running to him and greeted him, and he wanted to know what was going on. They told him, and he told the father, he says, "All things are possible if you believe." Now we can see that Jesus had sent out the disciples before that and had given them power to cast out demons and had given them power in which they could heal people and do many different miracles with the name of Jesus, because they believed in Christ and because they knew that it was the power of Christ that did the healing, not the man himself or the disciple that was proclaiming it. but it was through Jesus Christ. And Jesus tells us the same thing today. Those that have been given the power to heal, they can heal in the name of Christ Jesus. And there are some people like that. And we can do that with prayer and supplication. Or like in here it says prayer and fasting. And there we spend our time with the Lord, and he leads us at the time in which he wants us to do the healing or not to do the healing. And we see even in this that when Christ went into Gethsemane, and we sang the song in dark Gethsemane, and Jesus prayed, and he says, Lord, if it is your will, have this cup removed from me, that I don't have to go through it. He could see the effects of sin upon the human body. He knew what he would have to go through if he was to take the sins of the world upon his body and upon himself. He knows, and he knew then what sin consisted of. And so many times we don't see that, or it doesn't seem to penetrate our minds of how terrible sin can be. And yet Christ on that cross of Calvary, he took on the sins of the whole world, and he died for those sins. And God himself says, no sin will ever enter into my heaven. And so he turns his eyes away from the Lord. And Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it's because God will not look upon and dwell upon the sin of the world, because it will never be in the new heaven and the new earth. We see today that Satan is in heaven accusing us before God and accusing us of our wrong. His demons, if you would call it that, or his spirits are trying to make us feel that we are not capable of having Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And yet Jesus tells us, you know, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When he came and healed this boy, you know, he commanded that deaf and dumb spirit to come out of him. And he says, you cannot enter him again. And that spirit knew who Jesus was, because at one time before he had rebelled against God Almighty, he had been in heaven with the glory of God even around him. And then he followed Satan in the rebellion and was thrown out of heaven. And so he's come to earth, and he wants to dwell inside of people to make them go against God. And Jesus says, we must remember it is the Holy Spirit that works in each one of us to keep us on the straight and narrow road, having Christ first in our lives. And that the Holy Spirit will help us to know the truth, and the truth will make us free. Scripture tells us that so very, very plainly. Then Jesus tells the man, he says, you know, all things are possible for those who believe. And the man says, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And as Christians, even today, we can say, yes, I have Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I have him first in my heart, and I want to follow him. And yet so many times we turn ourselves to the world or to the things we are thinking of, and we're saying, Lord, help me to believe in you first and you only, and that I will trust in you above all things to take and help me through this day or through each situation that might come my way. And so we see that we do have an unbelief in which Jesus says, O you of small faith, or a faithless generation, because we look to ourselves instead of to God in all of the things that we say or do. We can look into the Old Testament lesson, and we see God tells Moses, he says, why are you standing there complaining to me? Tell the people to go forward. And what did they have before them besides the Red Sea? And behind them was the Egyptian army who wanted to take them back and make them slaves of the Egyptians forever. And God went, who had been going before the Israelites, went behind the Israelites and the Egyptians, and the Egyptians seen nighttime, and the Israelites seen daylight, and they seen Moses lift up his arms with his staff, and the water separated. Now, if you look back into history, and you will find in the Red Sea, about where they crossed, or where it's believed they crossed, there is a sandbar roughly 250 feet wide, and they feel that this is where the Red Sea parted. And you have to remember, it says that the sea parted, and by morning it was dry land. So the Israelites went over on dry land. And then when the Egyptians come, it wasn't dry anymore, and the wheels came off of their chariots and so forth, and they were drowned in the depths of the sea when the water came back over them. In history, the archaeologists have found this sandbar, and they have found on that sandbar chariot wheels, and they have found chariots embedded in the muck down on the bottom there. And that sandbar is roughly 70 feet, they said, or so above the ocean floor in that particular area. And they found one chariot where the spokes were lined with gold or covered with gold, and the gold will not deteriorate underwater. And they feel that was one that either Pharaoh himself was driving or one of his higher commands. And that chariot and the pictures they took and they showed are, you can see very plainly that it was a chariot or some kind of a wagon or riding device in which the people rode through in that particular portion. They have found different things, such as bridles from horses and so forth. And so it is believed that is where the Israelites crossed the Red Sea and escaped into the Sinai Peninsula. When God talked to Moses on Mount Sinai, on the top of that mountain, they said, even to this day, is a blackness where God talked to Moses, and that has never changed. And the top of that mountain still shows a burning light, or a burning where the ground itself is burnt. And that's where the power of God spoke to Moses. And it's there even to this day. And yet they don't want the Christians or the geologists and so forth to go and check that, because they will find out that Scripture is true. And they will find out that history of the Israeli people is true. And so much of the world is trying to do away with that. Rand McNulty just recently made new maps. And I don't know if you read about that, but they made maps, and they did not have the country of Israel on those maps. The country of Israel was given out between Jordan and between Gaza. And they did not have Israel at all. Through the repercussions that they got, they made new maps showing Israel as it is today. These people are in the world, and they are against Christ. They're against the Jews, and they're against God's chosen people. And they are doing everything they can to eliminate them. And they think that it's going to happen. And yet God says, I will protect my people. And I will protect the people that have accepted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And I will protect them and keep them, as he has done in the past and he will do again in the future. When the disciples came to him and wanted to know why they couldn't cast out these demons, Jesus tells them, you need prayer and fasting. You need faith, and you have to have Christ first in all that you say or do. And you have to believe, as it tells us in James, that we must believe we will receive. And we must believe and have our complete lively selves given over to Christ. And he said in James, it tells us we don't receive because we ask amiss, because we want to take and put it on something of ourselves, and we want to take and glorify ourselves rather than Jesus Christ, our personal Lord and Savior. And so we see this, that James is very adamant in telling us that we must have Christ and have Christ first, and that he is the one that lives in our hearts, and that we have committed ourselves to him completely. And then we can ask, and it will be given unto us. And yet we see that if God does not want to do it, he won't do it. You know, when Jesus prayed in Gethsemane and he prayed for that cup to be removed from him, God says, no, you have to die for the sins of the world. He sent a couple angels in to give Jesus encouragement and strength to go through that crucifixion. And we can only imagine how terrible that crucifixion was and how terrible it is for man to be beaten to a pulp, if you want to call it that, and to be spit on and to be treated like a criminal when he wasn't one. And Paul tells the people, he says, you know, you asked for a murderer to be released unto you, and you crucified the one that could save you. You crucified Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He had done nothing wrong, but only good. And he had tried to show you he was the Son of God and that he was the one that could save you. And yet, you says, we want Barabbas, the murderer, and we know what he's like. And that's what human nature or the satanic world is like. And Satan, it tells us, is at this time still controlling this earth, and he is still trying to control the people in it. We see then, too, in the epistle lesson where we talk about the Church of Philadelphia, and it's called, Philadelphia is called the City of Brotherly Love, or the Church of Brotherly Love. And we've seen that it was placed in a position where they went from Egypt over to Asia, and it was easy to control the excess on the flow of that road, and yet Philadelphia was destroyed many times because of earthquakes, and it was in an area in Turkey today where they have many earthquakes. And yet, Caesar, he took and rebuilt that city two or three different times, and today there's still a Christian church there. And Jesus says, you know, because you have kept my name, and you have persevered under the tribulations of your day, I will keep you out of the trials that's going to come upon the face of the earth, and I will keep you from them. And I will keep you that as you go through this part of the of life, that it will not affect you. You see, the ones that Jesus says, that there are people that say they're Jews and they're not. And he's talking about the spiritual aspect of each life. We see that in Romans it tells us that the true Jew is the one that has Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, and that he is the one that has Christ leading him and guiding him, and he's living for Christ. The Jews of that day and even of today that don't have the Lord, Jesus says they're not true Jews, because I look at the spiritual aspect of your life. And so they say they're Jews, and Jesus says they will have to come to you and acknowledge that Jesus has come once and he's coming again the second time. And when he comes again, he will bring his reward with him. And then Jesus tells them, hang on to your crown. Remember, I have opened a door for you. And he has opened the door for each one of us as we go through life, that we can speak to others about the love of God and what God has done in our lives, that people can see Christ in us, and that we're willing and able to stand up, that, Lord, give me the strength to stand for you regardless of what people say about me or how they treat me, that I will still love them in your holy name, even though their works are of Satan. I will do all I can in your name to bring them to the Lord. And how do we do that? It's through our work. It's through our speech. It's through our lives of how we live, and people see us and they see Christ in us, and they may not realize what it is, but they will come to us and they will want to know what we have that keeps us so joyful even in this world, because we have the love of God in us and we have that salvation, knowing that if he calls us out of this world, we are in heaven with him. And this is what one of the ways in which we can do it. You know, in Isaiah, we're told that God says he's going to put the government on Jesus' shoulders when he returns and he rules the world for 1,000 years and it's renewed forever. And Jesus will be the one, he'll be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will not let sin in any way or fashion or form be in his new heaven and new earth, and when the new Jerusalem comes down. He tells the people of Philadelphia, he says, I will write upon you my God's name, the city of the new Jerusalem, and my new name. And he says, hang on to your crown. Do not let Satan or anybody else pull you away from your what you believe and what you trust in, because you have eternal life through my name. And we see, too, that David, or Jesus, will be given the keys of David, and he says he has them already. And he tells the disciples, he says, I will give you the keys of heaven when you proclaim me and you live for me day by day. And he does that for each one of us even today. And so the question comes to each one of us, are we serving the Lord? And are we doing what God wants us to do each day? Does our life portray Jesus Christ to those we come in contact with? And does our life show that we have Jesus living in us, even though people in this area or in our lives may be telling us we are wrong and that we don't know what we're doing? I can remember as a child, I was a young teenager, and I was told, it's time to quit being religious, because we have gone through confirmation at that time, and it's time to get on in the world and accept the world as it was. And I told them, no, that wasn't right. And yet I didn't fully come to Christ until later on in life. But I knew that the Spirit was convicting me all these years, and I knew right from wrong, and yet it took me some time before I says, Lord, I want you as my personal Savior, and I want you as my Lord, and I want to serve you and you alone. And this has been a blessed time, and how he has watched over me, and how he has helped me many times. Yes, you stumble, you fall, yet, like David, you come back, you can repent of your sins, and Christ will forgive you when you do it in sincerity and in truth, and that you can have Jesus living for you in your life, and he will be there to write his new name in your heart and in your life, because the Holy Spirit is leading you and guiding you as you trust in him above all things. And we can serve him then all the days of our life. Are we afraid in this life? Yes, many times we can be afraid. And many times we can take and say, I should have said something to this person about the Lord Jesus. And yet we find that after we speak to them, I've seen where people would say, how come you didn't say something sooner? I have been wondering about this. And you say, why didn't you ask me? And they say, I thought you would tell me. And yet, we see many times where we fail our Lord because we are afraid of what people may say or think about us or how we live, or they might condemn us. We're afraid to get out of our comfort zone so many times, and we're afraid to stand up for Him. And are we denying Christ then? It seems like we would be. And yet Christ says, if you take and profess me before men on earth, I will confess you before God and the holy angels in heaven. And if you deny me, I will deny you. And we don't want Christ to deny us if we have Jesus in our heart and in our life and He has died for our sins. Why shouldn't we be willing to stand up for Him, even though many times we maybe will even know we will be made fun of, and people will take and make fun of us on many of the things. In Luke, it tells us, I say to you that like the wise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 just persons who do not need repentance. And, you know, as we look at Jesus telling about the prodigal son and how the prodigal son came back to God, to his father, and he says, Father, I have sinned against you, and you are the one I want to ask for forgiveness for. And the father forgives him and brings the fatted calf and is joyful in his return. And his other son comes and is mad because he says, you've never given me anything, and you've never had let me have a or told me to have a party with my friends. And the father says, you've been with me always, and therefore everything I have is yours. But your son, your brother, was lost, and now he's found. He was dead, and now he's alive. And therefore, let us rejoice and be glad. You know, Jesus, or God, tells us in Jeremiah, he says, I have no pleasure in the person that dies in their sin. I have no pleasure in those people. But yet, because they have rejected me, they are sent a strong delusion to believe lies, and they will take and have their sins upon their own heads. And yet, he tells us in the psalm, he says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And those that believe in Christ, God glorifies, and the angels rejoice that they come into heaven, the heavenly kingdom. But there is no joy and no celebration for those who die in their sin. So why would we want to take and choose the things of this life over eternal life? Over the eternal part in which we could have glory with Christ forever. And Christ wants us to turn to Him. If we don't have Him as our Lord, He wants us to repent. And He wants us to repent of our sin and say, Lord Jesus, be the Lord of my life and the Lord of my heart, and help me to live for you day by day. And we can all do that, and we should be making sure that our lives are with Him and living for Him every day. Then Christ will watch over us and keep us, and He tells us to hang on to our crown that He has given us because we have Him first in our lives and as our personal Lord and Savior, and He will help us through this world and through all the trials, and if it's through the tribulation period or through the tribulations of our own life, when He calls us out of here, we know in judgment we would hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest of your Lord. And we could pray and thank God for that every day. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll be with us. Help us, O Lord, as we go forward from this place, that we would serve you. And Lord, that you would be the one that helps us each day through our life, and as we take communion, we will not only do it in remembrance of what you have done for us, but that we would have you first in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn.